Please do be seated. So we're going to take time to come before the Lord in prayer. And our prayers are on the screen. And if you would join in, please, with a bold print. Let us pray. God of truth, you are worthy of higher praise than we can offer, and of purer worship than we can imagine. By your Holy Spirit, assist us in our prayers and draw us to yourself, so that what is lacking in our thoughts and actions and in our words and music may be supplied by your overflowing love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, when we do not listen for your word in the words of others, forgive and renew us. When we do not use the gifts you have bestowed on us, forgive and renew us. When we do not love one another as sisters and brothers in Christ, forgive and renew us. When we do not serve our neighbours in their need, forgive and renew us. When we do not share the good news with those around us, forgive and renew us. God calls us to serve, forgives us in Christ, and renews us by the Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. God of all grace, you call your church to be a holy people to the praise of your name. In the power of your Spirit, fill our hearts with your love and our lives with your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we are to have the first of our readings for this afternoon. Readings from our Old Testament prophet. Readings that will be words that will be familiar to us, but remind us all, not just of the great prophet's call, but of our own as well. Thank you.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
So as we reflect on those words, we are going to sing again. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. So we hear the words from our gospel reading. Thank you, Angela.
And the reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my lips and the thoughts and aspirations in our hearts be truly acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, I'm delighted to be here this afternoon in Haverhill and to be able to look out on a packed full church as we gather together to mark the beginning of a new chapter of ministry and mission here in Haverhill. But this is a somewhat unusual service. Let's remind ourselves that we are gathered together in the middle of February, halfway through the Methodist Connectional Year, and we are not here at the beginning of September. And in some ways, that is a relief for me, because I normally have 7 or 8 welcome services, and I'm going from one to the next to the next. So in some ways, it's a relief. But that very fact is a reminder of something very important. It's a reminder that Peter and Joe and the family have responded to the particular calling of God upon their life and ministry. They have agreed to move early in response to the needs of the wider church, and they find themselves here amongst the people of God in this community of Haverhill. Well, where else would you want to be in the middle of February on a Sunday afternoon? This is a great place to be. I'm delighted to see people who've come here from the previous circuits where Peter has served, and also to see representatives of our own district. We recognise that this response of obedience comes at some cost, not least to Peter and his family, with the natural upheaval that itinerancy brings to family life and routine. But also the cost of saying farewell at a time that was surprising and perhaps not expected. And I'm delighted that folk from the Chelmsford circuit felt able to be here to share in worship. And you are most welcome, and we are glad you are here. We also recognise that this is unusual because we've done something quite surprising here at Haverhill. We've had a period of vacancy, or as it's called in other churches, an interregnum. A period of time when there has been a break from the previous minister and the new incoming minister. And I want to take the opportunity to say a big thank you to you folk here at Haverhill for your gifts and graces, for your patience and your Christian service that has sustained ministry here in this place. I also want to say a very special thank you to my colleague Debbie Border who is the superintendent of the Bury St Edmunds circuit, who so willingly stepped in to the titular superintendency here and has worked so hard for the beginning of Peter's ministry. I'm not surprised to hear her say that she's going on holiday tomorrow. The baton is being handed on. And Peter, it's over to you. You can always call me. So this is an unusual occasion. So what to preach on an occasion like this? Well, with all of this talk of obedience and cost and itinerancy, it will not surprise you to hear me say that the theme of my sermon this afternoon is the call to discipleship. The call to discipleship with a particular reference to the Johannine tradition. We heard the call of the disciples from John chapter 1 verses 35 to 42. Can I encourage you for a few moments just to listen again to the words of one of those verses from that reading? It's verse 39. Jesus turns to the fishermen and says, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. So the call to discipleship in the Johannine Gospel begins with the words, "Come and see." The beginning of this adventurous, joyful, surprising life of pilgrimage does not lie in belief or the assent to certain truths, but instead it lies in the commitment to be attentive and fully present and fully available to Christ. If you like, it is an invitation or a call to keep company with Christ. Only as the disciples abide and stay with Christ will they be able to see and understand and believe. And nowhere is this better exemplified in the Gospel of John than through those series of remarkable stories that are called the signs in John's Gospel. A series of events that disclose the glory of God and enable the disciples to begin to grasp the significance of who Christ is. So, bread and fish are multiplied. Water is turned into wine. A crucified Messiah is risen. And so they watch and see and understand and believe. In this service this afternoon, this circuit service of welcome, it seems to me that part of what we are doing, surely, is acknowledging and celebrating the life of discipleship. The discipleship of Peter. That's this one, not the apostle. The discipleship of Peter, expressed through the discipline of the ordained life as a presbyter called to a ministry of word, sacrament, and pastoral care. But Peter's ministry has no place or no relevance apart from being amongst the company of God's people in the church, the body of Christ. And so it is also an opportunity when we affirm the life of discipleship of all God's people gathered here and all of your gifts and graces. And this afternoon, if you like, these two horizons of discipleship come together to form one joyful company of God's people setting out on a new journey of discovery and pilgrimage together in the company of the living God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as we share in worship together, we are aware of these different strands and we weave them together. As we share in worship, What might the Johannine tradition of discipleship, how might that speak to us? How might it inform our journey? And how might it inform our proceedings here this afternoon? Particularly if we hold in our minds that particular thought that I think arises out of the Johannine Gospel. This idea that the call to discipleship is a call to keep company with Christ, to be a companion of Christ, to come and see and remain and abide. Well, later in our service, as you will discover, there will be a series of questions that we will pose to Peter as the minister welcomed here. One of those questions will be the following. I will say, Peter, will you hold before us God's call to holy living? Here is an explicit admission that part of the calling of an ordained presbyter is to be a representative person who is a witness to the life of holiness, a sign amongst the people of God of what it is to live a life of holiness, to be freely and wholly available to Christ, keeping company with Christ and being transformed in perfect love. Now, this is not Peter's sole responsibility. It is indeed the privilege and responsibility of all of God's people to live a life of holiness. It belongs to every disciple of Christ. But as a leader, as a presbyter, as someone who will have pastoral charge, there is a particular responsibility for Peter to model that way of life amongst the people of God. So my first thought is that the call to keep company with Christ is a call to holiness, a call to devotional living. We need to create space and time to nurture this life of holiness so that we are open to the transforming presence of God's grace. We cannot do that unless we give proper attention and active focus to Christ, our companion, our Lord and Saviour. And we do this through all the means ordained by God for us to nurture the life of faith. And so we give time to pray. We give proper attention to Holy Scripture, its reading and study. We joyfully receive bread and wine, the sacraments of the Church. We willingly share in worship. We give attention to fellowship with God's people. We take opportunities to read and contemplate, think and study and meditate. All of those things that uniquely open us up to the life-giving presence of God and the transforming Spirit and the grace of Christ. In the third verse of Charles Wesley's great hymn, O Thou Who Camest From Above, in the third verse, you will remember, we sing these words, Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. At the beginning of this new chapter of ministry here at Haverhill, how are we going to stir up the gift of God's holiness in us and through us? What structures, activities, and patterns of life do we need to nurture the gift of God's holiness
both in the laity and in the ordained. And all of this so that we might be ready to work and speak and think and minister for Christ. The call to discipleship in the Johannine Gospel is a call to be a companion of Christ and to abide with Christ and for Christ to abide with us. But if we abide with Christ, we will find that we will also abide with the people that matter to Christ. So in a very real way, it is also a call to heed the importance of relationships, to recognise our brothers and sisters and to find Christ amongst them and within them. A call to keep company with Christ is also a commitment to keep company with the people that matter to Christ. And what do we discover when we read the Gospels? We discover that Jesus gravitated towards the lost, the least, and the lowly. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, in his recent book on discipleship, makes this point so well when he says, "Being where Jesus is means being in the company of the people whose company Jesus seeks and keeps." Jesus chooses the company of the excluded, the disreputable, the wretched, the self-hating, the poor, the diseased. So that is where you are going to find yourself. All of the New Testament Gospels suggest that the ministry of Jesus and the choices he made and the priorities he determined caused great consternation amongst the religious elite and the power brokers of his society. And it does so because of the company he chooses to keep. Fairly early on in the Gospels, he is accused of fraternizing with the tax collectors, the publicans, and the prostitutes. But in so doing, he communicates the deep love of God and the spacious nature of God's grace that naturally wants to include all and communicate the value of every person made in the image of God. Christ is only doing that which mirrors the heart of the Father. So the call to keep company with Christ is a call to heed the importance of relationships, to be drawn into loving service of our neighbour, whomever he or she might be. And I suggest that that might mean that we end up in the most surprising places and with the most unlikely people. Now, there is a significance to this. And in our present world, at this present moment in time, I'm sure I don't need to remind you that we're living in a time when certain political rhetoric can so easily build walls, divide communities, and incite the most irrational fears about those who are different to ourselves. Witness the executive order of the new American administration. Keeping company with Christ will not allow us to have that mindset. Keeping company with Christ keeps us connected and not divided and not excluded, because Christ communicates that spacious grace of God. And it is about being related and involved. And the call to be in the presence of Christ is to model that way of being in relation with all God's people. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, The call to keep company with Christ is also a call to heed the importance of mission. To recognise that if we keep company with Christ, then actually we're encouraged to encourage others to come into the company and friendship of Christ too. To taste and see that the Lord is good. That embracing Christ, we are following a way of life that is joy and peace and life and eternity. Now, if you read the first chapter of John's Gospel carefully, you see this pattern emerging. To begin with, on the strength of the witness of John the Baptist, John says, here is Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one who is greater than me, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. On the strength of that, the disciples of John go searching for Jesus and say, where are you going? And Jesus says, come and see. And they abide and they rest and they remain. Not long after, Andrew, the brother of Simon, goes searching for his brother, bears witness to Christ, and encourages him to come and see the Messiah for himself. Later still, in the same chapter, Philip goes to find his friend Nathanael, bears witness to Christ, and says, come and see for yourself the Messiah, and he goes and abides and stays. There is a pattern emerging. Gradually, through passionate witness, through obedient following, a whole cast of characters are being drawn into the company of Christ. The call to discipleship is a call to heed the importance of mission, the willingness to share in God's mission in the world. In the words of the Synoptic Gospels, it is to become fishermen of people, gathering the lost people of God together. Peter, as we mark this occasion here at Haverhill, you are called to this ministry as a presbyter. And you do this in the company of all God's people in this place. But not simply this place of worship, but to join in mission with God's people from other traditions and churches and places. And together to share in mission in this community. I know very well from past conversation and previous experience that one of the aspects of richness of ministry here in Haverhill is the vitality of ecumenical relations and that united desire to share in Christian service and mission to this community. This will surely prosper as you keep company with Christ. And so this afternoon I've sought to explore the theme of discipleship, the call of discipleship, with a particular reference to the Johannine Gospel. And I've shared with you the thought that central to John's perspective on discipleship is this call to keep company with Christ, to be a companion of Christ. To be fully available, expectant of his presence in all things and all places. Abiding with Christ in this way is a call to holiness of life. It's a call to heed the importance of relationships. And it's certainly an invitation to share in God's mission. Peter, you are called to this life of discipleship amongst God's people here in Haverhill. And I want to encourage you to seek holiness of life. for yourself and others. I want to encourage you to seek good and well-being for all your brothers and sisters who you will be in relationship with. And I want to encourage you to give yourself fully to God's mission in this place. But the great thing is that you do not do this alone. You do this in the company of fellow pilgrims and fellow travellers who want to work with you, pray for you, and share that journey. And I want to encourage you as well that you will be held in the love and prayers of people in surrounding circuits and across the district. And may God bless you richly and your family. Amen. We're going to sing again now. And this is a very good hymn for us to sing because it talks about that transforming life journey of growing more deeply into the love of God and becoming and sharing in God's holiness. Love divine, all loves excelling. Would you please remain standing as we move to the presentation, promises and welcome. And I'd like to invite Peter to come out to the front. Sisters and brothers, I present to you the Reverend Peter Goodall, whom the conference has appointed to serve in this circuit. Peter, will you hold before us the story of God's love and mercy, above all the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ? And will you be among us as one who preaches the word of God, administers baptism, presides at the Lord's Supper, teaches the faith, and cares for the flock?
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in proclaiming the gospel of life and hope.
Through Christ, we have good news to share. And Peter, will you hold before us God's call to holy living and be among us as one who awakens the careless and strengthens the faithful?
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in commitment to the way of Christ.
May we reveal Christ's way through our words and example. Peter, will you hold before us God's commitment to human community, to our neighbourhoods and all who live within them, and to the world that God has made?
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in sharing God's all-embracing love.
May we respond to Christ in all we meet. And Peter, to you is committed the responsibility for the life and work of this circuit. And will you, with your colleagues, lay and ordained, care for its people, inspire its witness, and watch over its life in the name of Christ?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
I'd like to invite Kathy, our circuit steward, to address us.
Sisters and brothers, will you welcome Peter and will you offer him your friendship, support and prayers as we join together in the work to which God has called us? With God's help, we will.
I'm going to invite you to sit down. Not you.
I need you to stay up the front with me. We have many people who have come from all over to come and be with us today and to offer their welcome. And I'm going to ask a few that I haven't told I'm going to do ask them to do this, but to come and welcome on behalf of groups. And so I'm delighted to see that His Worship the Mayor Councillor David Roach is here today. On behalf of the civic area, I'd be grateful if you would come and give your welcome. Hoping that Captain Andrew Payne is here from the Church Army. I can see someone's pointing. Sorry, you can't hide away. I know. Word got to me, you see. Thank you. I think Henry Wilson and Angela are here from Reach, is that right? Have they arrived? Yeah. Yes, thank you. If you would like to come and meet and greet, that would be lovely. And I'm not sure, is Paul Turner here from the River of Life Church? Yes. See, I found these people out for you. I think we'll stop there. I could go on and on. There's a long list of people. But I think it's lovely that you've all come to support Peter, and I'm sure you'll have time afterwards to join us for refreshments, to talk to Peter and Joe and pass on your good wishes then. But first I'm going to hand over to Peter to speak. You're allowed to, do you want to come here?
Yes, I can use the microphone. How wonderful it is to see you all here this afternoon, and I can't tell you how important it is, and I'm sure other ministers here will agree how important these services are of welcome and indeed of farewell. They are important milestones in our lives and our ministry that we look back to and sometimes look forward to as well. And I want to give thanks today for so many of you, for all those who have come here today to give up their Sunday afternoon. To be here in February, as we heard. One thing I've learnt that's different when you move in February as opposed to August is this. Joe and I have always had a freezer that's been kept in an outside shed or garage. In August, defrosting a fridge is fine. You just switch it off, and later that day you can just wipe it down. But in February, it takes about 2 days to defrost, so we've learned that lesson. And there's a number of thank yous that I must make this evening. First of all, to Julian for bringing us God's word today, which spoke to my heart and I'm sure has spoken to your hearts as well today. And to other district colleagues as well who are here, who I am yet to meet. I know people have come from across East Anglia to support me and the family today, and thank you. And to Debbie. Debbie, you didn't ask to have extra work here at Haverhill. It was put upon you, but through grace and through commitment, you have done a good work here and have really helped in this time of preparation for my arrival. So on behalf of the church here in Haverhill and myself, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you. To all those who have come from other churches in the town, thank you for your welcome. I look forward to working with you as partners in the gospel. And to all those representatives from the town, to our mayor and to his wife, and to all those from different community groups who are here today, thank you. And thank you to all those members of Haverhill Methodist Church who have worked so hard in preparation for today, and for all those who have had a special part to play, for our musicians, our planning. Kathy, we thank you for all that you've done in preparation, and for the refreshment team as well that will follow. Thank you. And to all those who have come from the Chelmsford Circuit, from Christ Church in Braintree, from Great Notley, and from Halstead. Thank you all for your support here today. It means a lot to me and Joe to see so many familiar faces here to support us. And thanks to Joe and James and Sally for being here with me as well in this time of ministry. Again, something that you maybe didn't seek for or expect, but you also are saying yes to God today. As I've been thinking about this occasion, it struck me that these welcome services are a little bit like a wedding. You look round in the church and you think, well, I don't recognise them, but they must be family. And indeed, that's what we are tonight. We may not know one another fully, but we are the family of God. We are all one today, and that's a wonderful thing. And it's also a bit like a wedding because you look at those who are at the front and you're thinking and you're praying, I really hope it works out for them and I hope that they will be happy. And we know that our confidence is in God today as we take this step of faith together. Our confidence and our joy is in God alone, and he will not let us down, and he will not disappoint us, and he will always be with us through this. And lastly, it's also like a wedding because it's about love most of all, and that struck me tonight. And it's no accident that we have heard that word love mentioned in so many of the hymns and songs of worship that we have sung this evening. God's all-encompassing, unconditional love for you and for me that brings me and brings us here tonight. And we know we're not worthy of that love, and we're not holy, and we can't repay that love. We feel unworthy. But God loves us and calls us to receive that love more and more in our lives and to share it as well. And we go forward in his love. So thank you again for being here, for all that you are and for all that you are doing for the Lord. And I look forward to working with you and to continuing God's mission in this place at this time. At the end of my responses, there was a couple of lines, which I'll just find. It says, I thank you for your welcome. I will work with you and pray for you. And I wanted just to close or begin by saying a prayer now. So let us pray. We remember those words of St. Paul that we may have heard read in our churches today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul writes, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we praise you for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. For all those who have gone before us, men and women of faith, on whose foundations we build. Help us tonight to place our whole trust in you, knowing that you will supply all our needs and will never leave us or forsake us. As we build together for the future, Guide us by your Spirit, we pray, so that we may build wisely, straight and true, building on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It was a coincidence that two of the hymns we sang tonight, Love Divine and later And Can It Be, were sung at my farewell service a few weeks ago. That was a coincidence. And I was asked to choose a hymn for this evening, or a song, and so I've chosen the words of the 23rd Psalm, the Stuart Townend version of The Lord's My Shepherd. So let's stand together and make these words our own this evening as we say and pray, I will trust in you alone.
So we take time to come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. And to the bidding, the Lord hears our prayer. Please respond, thanks be to God. In faith we pray to God, who is more ready to hear than we are to ask. Let us pray for the whole Church of God, that rejoicing in our richness and variety, we may seek peace and unity, and be constantly renewed for mission and service. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for the churches of our circuit and district, and for other churches in this area, that rejoicing in our common heritage, we may strengthen each other and be built up in love. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for the life of the world, that rejoicing in our common humanity, we may reject the ways of war and conflict and work together for justice and peace. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Let us rejoice in the communion of saints, that strengthened by their faithful example, we may follow the way of Christ and live to God's praise and glory. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Give us wisdom, Lord, to know your will and courage to do it. May our words declare your love, and may our compassion give substance to our words. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Well, it seems so right with so many people from all over that have gathered together here this afternoon that we should share the peace. So I invite you, if you're able, to please stand. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share the peace with one another. It's always delightful when everyone wanders and gathers, and you're going to have lots more time to do that. So for now, I'm going to draw you back together if possible and ask you to be seated. We're going to come to our time now, where we are going to bring our gifts before God. And today our offering is for the training fund for Methodist ministers, and the stewards are going to wait upon you. Thank you.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for all these gifts given this afternoon, and we just pray that they'll be used wisely and well in the training of Methodist ministers. And we ask this prayer in your name. Amen.
Well, I'm handing over now to Craig, our other circuit steward here at Haverhill. Thanks, Craig.
Good afternoon. I'm shortly going to be leading us in our Thanksgiving prayer, but before I do that, I'd like to take this opportunity to echo some of Julian's words from earlier on, making a couple of thank yous. Firstly, as Julian mentioned, we have been without a minister for 3 months, and a great many people have stepped up and stepped in to help us out, to allow things to run smoothly in that period. So on behalf of the circuit, I would like to say a huge thank you to all of those, both within the circuit itself and who have come in from outside to preach or however, to help us. They are far too many to name individually. However, as Julian also mentioned, there is one specific individual that we would like to thank in particular. When we are without a minister here, we have had a titular superintendent step in to cover ostensibly simple things like chairing meetings and signing paperwork. And I can imagine that from the outside, one might think that it is as simple as crossing T's and dotting I's. And I can assure you it is not. Debbie has done so much more for us than that. And without her, I think it's fair to say that Peter would have an awful lot more work to do in the next few weeks than he's going to have to fill in some of the gaps that we would inevitably have left behind. Debbie, would you mind just stepping up just for a moment? Just very quickly, on behalf of the whole of the Haverhill Circuit, I would like to thank you for everything that you have done for us. It has been hugely appreciated. And I wonder if I could pass along this just a small token of our thanks and appreciation for everything you've done.
Thank you.
Okay, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in every generation you reveal your love for the world and set before your people your word of life and hope. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom you have made known your way of perfect love, and in those whose dying and rising, and in whose dying and rising we see your final purpose. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who leads your people into all truth, for the service and witness of your church, and for the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments through which you renew and strengthen us. All honour and glory be yours, in the church and in the world, in time and in eternity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much for this. It's a huge surprise. I wasn't expecting that. It's been a huge privilege to serve you over the last months, to get to know some of you, and hopefully it won't end now. I'll be perhaps invited back occasionally, and maybe Peter and I can do some swaps. So that would be really good, having got to know so many of you. So thank you very much. Afterwards, there are refreshments in the hall, and I do hope that you will go into the hall where you can meet and greet Peter and Joe and the family. After our blessing, they're going to lead the way into the hall. So they're not going to stand at the door to say goodbye to you. They're going into the hall. So if you want to speak to them, that's where you'll have to go as well. So that would be really good. And as Peter said, this was a hymn that I chose to finish our service, close our service today. And it's just delightful that he also had it in his service as he was leaving his last church. So we stand to sing. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Let's stand and praise the Lord. May the God of love stir up in us the gifts of his grace and sustain each of us in our discipleship and service. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.